W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. 9 people injured, including an 8-year-old boy, when a gunman opened fire at a splash park in a Detroit suburb where families had gathered to beat the summer heat. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard said law enforcement tracked the gunman to a nearby home where the gunman later died by suicide. Bouchard says a motive for the shooting not known.
At this point, we're not aware of any police contact or any prior criminal history.
He says the gunman was a 42-year-old white man who appears to have lived with his mother. Israel's military announcing a pause to its offensive in southern Gaza, providing an opportunity for much-needed humanitarian aid to enter the territory, the pause taking place until this evening. Some of Hollywood's brightest stars taking part in a glitzy fundraising event for President Biden Saturday, helping raise $28 million for his campaign. Among those in attendance, George Clooney, Julia Roberts, and Barbara Streisand. This is ABC News. The FAA investigating a near plummet into the Pacific Ocean by a Southwest Airlines jet back in April. The Boeing 737 MAX 8 came within 400 feet of the water off the coast of Hawaii. Bloomberg reporting the first officer inadvertently pushed down on the controls, then cut speed, causing it to plummet.
Southwest says in a statement, the event was addressed appropriately, as we always strive for continuous improvement. Just last month, another Southwest Boeing 737 MAX 8 experienced a rare Dutch roll at 34,000 feet when an aircraft simultaneously slides from side to side and rocks wingtip to wingtip. An incident report from the FAA revealed the flight regained control and post-flight inspection revealed damage to the standby power control unit. No one was injured.
That's ABC's Ike Jachi. Charles Barkley says the NBA's next season will be his last on TV. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a Work Money Minute about buying versus leasing a car. Okay, I gotta say up front, I love cars. I took auto shop in high school, I worked on my own cars, I love driving stick, but I don't really get my sense of identity from the car I drive. Buying versus leasing comes down to whether having that shiny new car every few years really matters to you and if you can afford it. Leasing can make sense for middle or upper middle income people who really like having that shiny new car and can afford the mileage limits and the higher long-term costs, because it does cost more. But for the rest of us, purchasing a pre-owned vehicle that's in good shape is the most financially savvy decision that we could make about a car. For more tips on saving more and spending less, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. on Civic Media, original local music from Wisconsin. It's time for Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, the most trusted name in real estate. Sell or buy your next home right now at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. Radio is also sponsored by Carbon 4 Brewing, located on Madison's east side, making high-quality beers and with the best ingredients. So you can also get some food and check out some live entertainment. Get the full details at carbon4.com.
Jimmy, it's time for Live in the Lair. Graham Marlowe is a Madison-based keyboardist, and you might call him a synthesizer graffiti artist. Jazz, rock, ambient, and astrometric space music with a solid background in classical, avant-garde, film scoring, and other formats. That's all a big mouthful. Graham, he can also be caught performing with his band, Lake Waves Trio, but tonight, Graham Marlowe, a.k.a. Lake Waves, is live in the Lair tonight on Max Inc. Radio. Graham, welcome to the Lair.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's great to see you, Graham. It's great to meet you. I'm really, with that description right there, I'm super stoked to hear you play live. And do me a favor, get a little closer to that microphone, please.
Okay, yeah.
Awesome. So, Graham, your hometown is in Pulaski, Wisconsin. That's where in the state?
About 20 minutes northeast of Green Bay.
Okay. And Pulaski hosts the annual Pulaski Pollock Days. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Polka Days.
Polka Days. I'm sorry. My apologies. Pulaski Polka Days. You see what I mean? I can't run for office. Just can't do it. Anyway, it's one of the largest festivals dedicated to Polish the Polish immigrants here in Wisconsin. Do you play polka?
There's a complexity to it that I appreciate, but I never picked up accordion or that. It didn't make musical sense to me. So, I can appreciate it. I'm not not a genre I dabble in, I guess.
Have you been to the festival up there?
And do you dance?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fixture of growing up. People come from all over the world to get smashed and party in this, like, Sherwood Anderson kind of short story town. You know, 11 bars in a Catholic church kind of place.
Right.
I think it's the official dance move of beer.
I here in Wisconsin, there's no doubt about it, you know.
Well, because, you know, all you have to do is count to three, right?
Right.
Not four. That's rock and roll.
It's a soundtrack of sorts. Yeah.
Is there any connection? Obviously, Wisconsin also has a strong German history here, German immigrants and beer, and so does Poland. Is there any intermingling or similarities, or are the beers or the polka kind of separate?
It almost seems like an oral tradition thing, in a sense, the polka, just because there's not like a lineage. You know, like rock and roll, there's different appendages, like mm-hmm. historically to things. Like with polka, it's a little more like gypsy-like as far as the history goes, it seems. So, my grandma was first generation Italian immigrant, so I don't necessarily have that in my ancestry. But it was a big fixture of growing up, very Polish place to grow up, I guess.
Well, you've kind of started to tell us a little bit of your history, which this is my first time meeting you. Lovely. Let's get to know you. How did you get started playing music? What's your backstory? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I didn't really have awareness of it at the time, but both older brothers, I'm one of four. The oldest was really involved in the professional jazz world, kind of from high school onward. He took me to jam sessions, kind of taught me how to listen. The other brothers had involvements with music, and one of them went on to be a music teacher at the high school level. But Justin was the one that really kind of impressed a lot of different styles and discipline onto me. And so, you know, he was kind of my history lesson for a lot of things. My folks were more kind of like conservative hippies, like Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Neil Young.
Conservative hippies.
Like, is that an oxymoron?
Yeah, right. policy-wise, pretty, you know, hippie-ish, but, you know, like maybe just in comparison to myself, that seems conservative. But anyways, yeah. they're very cool. Good upbringing and all that. But my mom was more into pop music. My dad was more into, like, prog rock, jazz, exploration, go off the page and come back, like have some musicianship, you know, not necessarily know where the climactic moment was coming every 2 minutes.
Who was some of his favorite artists, your dad's favorite artist?
Pink Floyd, Rush, ELP. Yeah.
Is this where space music comes in?
Wait, are you talking about me?
a lot of obscure stuff that I found later that I thought was really cool. But yeah, they listened a little bit differently, but they had a kind of an opposites attract thing, I suppose.
The music that you just described from your dad, did that bleed over to you for your liking and the music that you enjoy listening to?
I think I like slowly absorbed it through osmosis over the years. And like when I got into my 30s, like I really got some time. Like I would hear that like Rush albums on when my dad was painting and stuff. He was an insurance guy, but also had this creative stream that was active. And that's kind of what he does in retirement now, like got into carpentry and all that sort of stuff again. But in my 30s, that's where I really got a chance to like listen to those albums with a different attention, I guess. And then it just, you know, had this newer layer of appreciation, I suppose.
Listening to it more or less as a musician as opposed to a fan of the music.
Consumer, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Graham, you have a degree in music and English from St. Norbert College in De Pere, Wisconsin, and you studied with some great academics, including the late jazz director Fred Sturm of Appleton's Lawrence University. Tell us about your college life.
I think everyone in and around me knew that I knew where the party was, but that I was very serious about my studies as well. You know, I made sure I got my work done, and then, you know, the the hat came off sort of thing. But
that was the conservative hippie in you,
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like, discipline can be really gratifying in that way, I guess. But yeah, I had kind of tried out like social groups and that sort of a thing, but never really found a core. I was involved with film scoring. There were Chinese students on exchange that I collaborated with musically, wrote piano music I didn't think I had in me just from, you know, absorbing things about their culture, conversation bits or this or that. So I had my hand in a lot of stuff, and I knew that, you know, I was going to have to educate myself on certain things. And I think the only thing that I would change from that time was just to get the art of being the business of being an artist together a little earlier.
Yeah.
And taking certain risks earlier as opposed to later. Like, I think I'm kind of a late bloomer on that side of things in some ways. But yeah, I mean, it was a kind of a small private liberal arts college. I later on went on to Milwaukee to work on a second bachelor's that was more journalism. And that's, you know, kind of where I developed like a musical history there as well, collaborating around and did an album with jazz musicians, kind of set to poetry at the time.
Hmm.
I think most of it holds up, but it might have seemed kind of hipster at the time.
It had to be really cool for you too, to stay close to home. I mean, Norville College in De Pere is not that far from Pulaski at all.
So right.
You got to stay home and be with the family too.
Yeah. If I got freaked out, I could go run there. Or if I needed to get away from them, I would just go back, you know, like kind of oscillating back and forth, I guess. But yeah, it was a good balance.
So tell us about working with Fred Stern.
Yeah, he had done all kinds of like world-class arrangement of full band Steely Dan arrangements and just really imaginative reworkings of otherwise just like really slick pop music and really well-arranged pop music, but he had just a different way of hearing things. His son Ike is a really renowned bass player in the New York area. He does this jazz church kind of a thing, which is inspired by his dad and the way that he listened. One of the experiments that I really remember from working with him was when I was dabbling in film scoring, one exercise that he had me do was just to take, it could be a scene from a Kubrick movie, it could be a scene from some old like, you know, black and white film strip era, short story-ish type thing. It could be anything, but just take a scene that really spoke to me and sub the music out with different things just to notice the emotional response difference. And I feel like that helped really kind of train my ear to certain things. I mean, there's like Tarantino where he'll use like weirdo soul music when someone's getting decapitated and it's got this weird
yeah, right.
kind of, it works. You can't explain why, but you know, there's, anyways, like a lot of that kind of got impressed on me and a lot of that really shaped how I played later too.
Well, let's get to some live music in the lair with Graham Marlowe, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The first song you have for us tonight is called Phone Number Acquisition. I mean, is this a song about a pickup line?
It could be in keyboard form or in keyboard-based form. But yeah, it's just kind of, I guess, inspired by that flash of courage that would put myself in a situation like that where I meet someone new with this really cool connectivity. And sometimes I wonder if I'm a little bit on the spectrum. So being the initiator always works to our benefit, you know, which is really bold, but I always get a better result that way too. So just kind of, yeah, it's like a little kind of an emblem of things, I suppose.
Well, let's hear it.
Let's hear it right now. You're live in the lair on Civic Media, 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. You could call or text from the Civic Media app. You're live in the lair presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Let's check it out right now. It's Graham on Max Inc. Radio. Nice. Graham Marlowe live in the lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media, 844-967-2789. Graham, or should I say a.k.a. Lake Waves, that's a part of a three-piece band, if I understand, that you're in, right?
Yeah, Lake Waves is kind of my solo instrumental artist name, producer name, whatever you'd like to call that. And I thought of that back in like 2013 when I started doing the solo Lake Waves albums in a more produced way. It was kind of a tag team effort between my friend Devin, who was going to Berkeley at the time in California. We were trading demos back and forth, adding layers until we got to finished ideas. And then around 2016, it kind of split off. I took the name with me. I kept going in my own direction. He went in this Sign Rider direction, and then he ended up getting signed, so I wasn't surprised by that. But, yeah, so Lake Waves Trio is just sort of my, you know, circus, extracurricular circus at the moment, my primary live experience.
And that's you on keyboards and then a bass and drums?
Yeah. From that just like the black and white text, it would look like a jazz trio, but we're really more, you know, something like between a jazz club and a rave, you know, jam.
That's really somewhere be between. More. That's great.
Jam oriented, but not necessarily a jam band.
Interesting.
Where are you guys playing out? Anywhere soon?
Yeah, I even have us potentially playing skate parks in Milwaukee, which, you know, Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack, real life, like how much better does it get than that? But
wow,
we're a lot of stuff in the park system, like Peace Park in August. We just did a kind of straight to video audio concert last night at it's a Blue Stem sponsored event at Audio for the Arts.
Oh, yes,
so I'm waiting to see what that looks and sounds like. Coming up. Around the corner is kind of a dual set day that I have for Make Music Madison. So next Friday, I'm going to be in front of Overture doing the solo thing for an hour. Then I go home, I don't know, take a nap or just come back to whatever the scene is down here. And then at 7, the trio is playing down at Olbrich Gardens. Nice. So that seems kind of like a headlining thing for that event.
What time are you over here at the Overture?
10 a.m.
On Friday, 10 to 11. There you go. Make Music Madison.
Right across the street from the Civic Media Studio. And then out at Olbert Gardens. Is that going to be inside? Is that an inside or an outside show?
So long as it's not rained out.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, you'd be in. I think they have artists inside of the dome, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
It's been more of a thing the last couple of years, yeah.
I can only imagine your music would make the plants happy, too.
I mean, that's high praise. You know, that's a
I mean, great compliment. Yeah. I mean, plants, I mean, if you sing to them, they supposedly grow better and stronger and stuff like that.
I thought there was heavy metal that did that, Jimmy.
Maybe so.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with Graham Marlowe, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Manic Upswing. Is this a song about ping pong?
I wish. Like chess, like really anything that takes strategy, I wish I was better at for sports-wise. But yeah, Manic Upswing. Last spring, I had a weirdo string of layoffs. I had to get out of my, it was just a kind of a cluster, and I was living with a friend at the time in between job interviews, et cetera, kind of waiting to get into the next place. And so I was also, you know, on this like sobriety kick and stuff at the time, just to kind of, you know, cleanse for whatever the next chapter was. And it just kind of came to me in one stream, like it often does with the stuff that I write. It's more felt out than thought out. Then I guess it becomes more thought out when it's more arranged. But anyways, yeah, it's just, I liked how I was able to just kind of sit down and emote at a high level like that. And it brought me back to some of my inspirations, like in the kind of Avant classical rock, jazz, all that mesh, like Terry Riley. They would just kind of do these concerts in the 60s and 70s and just kind of sit down and improvise for a few hours and get sequencers going, maybe have a drum machine. But basically do like the proto one-man band thing, as we know it, with like looping and such. And I was always really inspired by that. So it's a good example of the kind of improvisatory thing that I come up with sometimes on the fly or just as the situation requires.
Well, let's hear this next song, Manic Upswing. You're listening to Live in the Lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media. Don't forget, you can grab the Civic Media app. Take us anywhere you want. Just grab it right now at your favorite app store or at civicmedia.us. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. It's Graham Marlowe on Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you.
Nice. Graham Marlowe, live in the lair here on Max Inc. Radio.
We're going to float away, Jimmy.
I was just going to say, we are floating away. 844-967-2789. Stick around. We got more live in the lair coming up here in just a second. We're going to talk about synthesizer graffiti artist Graham Spaceship and his take on AI. You're live in the lair.
My take on AI.
Cheese, cranberries, beer, and great local music. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Spring has sprung, and if you're like me, spring cleaning takes on a whole new level. I don't just clean, I get up and find a new home. And for those that know that the Aaron Weber Group and MoveToMadison.com is the place to buy and sell your home. With listings updated every 15 minutes, easy and convenient virtual or in-person showings and meetings, the Aaron Weber Group should always spring to mind when you buy or sell. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. MoveToMadison.com. More than a website, it helps you spring into action.
The next time you want a pizza, try Doughboy's Pizza in Madison, a family pizza restaurant. You can taste the difference with recipes that are over 100 years old. Located in Northgate Mall in Madison for lunch and dinner takeout or delivery to Madison's north and east sides and downtown. Search Doughboy's Pizza online or call 608-467-3017. 467-3017. Treat your family to Doughboy's Pizza Madison today.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Who knew that Wisconsin sounded so good? It's Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Welcome back to Live in the Lair here on Max Inc. Civic Media. Get all the podcasts, get all the news you need right now about Max Inc. Radio, maxincradio.com. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night, too, for Max Inc. Sunday night, 6 p.m. Central, and Max Inc. Americana at 4 a.m. The best country, folk, and bluegrass from the state of Wisconsin. Graham Marlowe's our guest here live in the lair. Graham, I'm blown away by what we're hearing tonight. I didn't know you until tonight, and I didn't know anything about your music, but I love the improv, the freshness of the different, I guess. And I like that a lot. And thank you for coming in and sharing this with us. So let's ask, what's the synthesizer graffiti artist?
Sure.
Tell us more about that and how that means, or what that means to you, or what it means to us.
It's partly inspired by how a guy named Laraji got discovered by Brian Eno back in the early 80s. He was just like a street performer. He had like this electrified dulcimer thing, and he was just kind of sounded like an omnicord would maybe now, but just kind of an electronicized mini sequencer type of thing, but he could do all kinds of harmonic craziness with it. Anyways, I think the image of the synthesizer graffiti artist is maybe where that came from, but I think it more alludes to like the way I play and the way I hear, where I can, especially with the solo instrumental sets, I'm without a rhythm section or that, I don't want to say I'm tasked with playing against myself or that, but in a way, like it's a good idea for me to like, you know, set a delay or like get a groove going with myself or get some sort of repetitive structure underneath something that I want to improvise with on top and just, you know, kind of add layers. So it's, you know, similar to like watching someone, you know, do a mural or something alongside a coffee shop wall and just the slowly unfolding, you know, inspiring thing that's happening in front of you. And I was always really attracted to anybody, especially like Keith Jarrett or someone who's done these all improvised concerts that became famous because they've just got into such a vibe there and there's just some high level stuff happening there. But just anyone who can just sit down and emote at that really high level like that and kind of go across genre and just kind of wow you like that and just kind of be able to play to the moment as well.
Would it be fair to say your performance or your live performances, no two are the same on the same song?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the trio, though, too, where it's like we have kind of a Grateful Dead-esque, like, come on, get on the bus and see what happens. Feel like it'll, like, we trust our ability to throw down and to elevate the whatever, the mood, the room, the whatever's going on, the occasion. But... yeah, forgot where I was going.
Well, who are your inspirations? I heard Brian Eno, like Jean-Michel Jarre and Vangelis and
Tangerine Dream,
yep. Right? Kraftwerk, maybe even.
Yeah, yeah. They laid the groundwork for a lot of more modern guys that I really like that are on a kind of a continuation of that vibe. And we're even like a part of that band at one point, like Ulrich Schnaus. He's like a German electronic artist, but he like performed with them before they all died for the last few years and really like kind of carried that torch. And so like with the some of the imagery about like the synthesizer graffiti artist, it just seems like a very simple way to present the complexity that I bring to the table at times.
Well, you've been talking about the musical layers, and this rig is like a spaceship and looks amazing. Can you tell us a little bit more? There's all these like lights and buttons. I kind of want to get hooked up to it. What does it do? Tell us about it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had people comment on my sets, even like State Street walking by, like, hey, sounds like you're contacting aliens, but like in a complimentary way, you know? So like my mind's kind of always there a little bit, but with this setup, I have one... basically three main pieces. One that's a performance piano. You know, you get your classic Rhodes, vintage electric pianos, organ, etc. Then you get like a more of a sequencer synth lead with the Korg Op 6, and then like Korg Mini Log is more for texture than anything, but you can get a groove going with that, especially if you have a way to sustain the signal that you're holding. You know, so it's like I can really get into something in a few minutes that I'm, you know, is kind of like where jazz meets rock or whatever, you know, somewhere I can go somewhere with.
Interesting.
Well, let's get back to live music in the Lair with Graham Marlowe, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Solo Improv 1. Is this a synthesized version of like Blues in A?
I guess we'll call it that for now. But yeah, I mean, you probably saw on my, especially with the live band, some of the titles that we use are pretty ridiculous. But I think what inspires that is groups like the Flaming Lips, where you'd have these bonkers titles, but then this really cool, often instrumental experience. Like they have a track called Virgo Self-Esteem Broadcast. I think it's on Embryonic. It's an all-vocal piece.
It's just like word salad.
Right?
I don't know. Do you know Virgos? That sounded exactly like a Virgo.
But it like reminded me of the end of a David Crosby album where there's this really awesome all vocal thing going. He just layers his voice over and over and over and over, and it sounds like a choir and just impressive. So
definitely some talented music. Well, let's hear this right now. Graham Marlowe is live in the Lair. Feel free to give us a call, throw us a text, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We'll get you on the air. It's Graham Marlowe, live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio. Thank you. Awesome. Graham Marlowe, live in the lair here on Max Inc. Radio. Don't forget, you can give us a call right now, 844-967-2789. Call or text from the Civic Media app, Lily.
Yeah, wow, that is like spiritual. Great music. I really am enjoying it. And it's not commercial. What have you done to like navigate your like role in music and like that slippery slope of being an artist, of like being commercially accepted and just jamming sure. out and doing what you want?
Yeah. One thing I didn't get to flesh out from earlier in a question was, you know, the influence of my brother there. Like, he was playing with like Miles Davis alum, like electric band alum in these, you know, Clark Terry's 5 o'clock band in college, and also like playing with some of these guys professionally. So like that was really intimidating later to find out, you know, like where he was.
No doubt.
His skill and yeah. stuff.
How much older is he than you?
He's born in 78, so 45.
Okay.
I see how that some of that experience kept him young and that. But as far as how I've navigated things, I mean, I was always kind of on the more instrumental side of things. Part of that is living in apartment buildings where like I felt like if I tried working on a vocal element, you just start to hear the wall punch after a few minutes. Like,
all right,
well, like, I guess we're going to work on instrumental stuff tonight, you know. So,
or you can sell them a CD, one of the two.
You know, like, I don't know, certain... I could find a swath of songs with a few glasses of wine in me. I could get it right or whatever. Yeah. But that's where I always felt more expressive, doing things like film scoring and an album for Float Centers out here and having my hand in all these things. It was just kind of like I sought out a lot of it as well. In some really gratifying ways, I feel like the trio is kind of what I always envisioned in my head, kind of an extension of really every idea I've had and an electrification of a lot of ideas that I had had. So
you mentioned film scoring. Have you ever connected with any of the local filmmakers here in Wisconsin to try to score like some independent films?
I think the only impediment I've had up until more recently was equipment. I don't know that I had a rig that really kept up with my musicianship and my imagination and the opportunities trickling in up until, you know, 3-4 years ago. I mean, I had like what felt like a souped up 98 Honda Accord, and everyone else was getting like Teslas and Corvettes. And like, no one asked me to leave, and I got paid at the end of the night, you know. So I had some skills, but I knew I could be much better. And now this is more, you know, adapted to what I can do. You're always trying to expand things, you know, but Madison, I think we do equally well, like my music, solo as well as Milwaukee. I do have a little bit of a history there. So like I know the venues, my friends tend to show up, et cetera. Whereas here it's a little more guerrilla marketing, but I can get a similar result, you know? Yeah. And I think that's really the primary way that I've been able to do it. It's not necessarily having a manager or having like, 1,100 friends that will come to High Noon or whatever is going on. Just the instrumental thing itself is a little bit of a harder sell alone. And so, it's more gratifying to do all those things myself, but you know, I can find myself in some deep water with tasks sometimes.
Right. Right.
But,
you had mentioned playing on State Street. Have you gone busking with this rig or just a single keyboard, or what's busking like for you?
It's very similar to what you see. I don't want to say unfortunately, but it's in terms of like the number of pieces and involved, and
it was a lot of suitcases, Jimmy.
Are you considered powered? So you here at Madison anyway, you would have to get a permit from the city to do that, right?
Or if I worked a night market for like security and vendor support for a few summers, and then this year it kind of opened up like, hey, we'd rather have you play at this than. And so that was a different conversation. But I'd rather have like a long night market set. I think my music is conducive to that. It's kind of got that like almost like trip hop 90s feel where you're like walking down like a market or something. You're like a little bit of Thai food. You smell that and then some incense or this or that. And it's like you start to form a picture in your mind pretty quick. So like Madison's been good that way. I can kind of create my own venue. I can work with the park system or the city. I can work with the major venues. I don't think there's anywhere that would turn me down for a gig, but there are a few places I would still like to break into. I think Cardinal is a step for us coming up next weekend.
Nice.
So, I think our audience is hiding downtown in spots, and we're trying to work on
come that. Out of hiding. Come and enjoy some music from Graham Marlowe. One question. Do you ever get up to Green Bay or to Peoria play at all in the homeland up there?
It's the other guys have a couple of groups that they're in that they're busy with, as well as, partners and houses. Not so much kids, but that can be a little bit of a logistics deal. But we would like to kind of expand. Like, I'd like to play like a winery in Green Bay and have them really dig it and stuff like that. And I think there's a lot more of a scene in those cities, whereas when I grew up, there wasn't really a music scene. It was just cover bands, really. And now it's
Green Bay is blowing up with
stuff happening.
Great artists up there too.
Appleton,
Yeah.
So it's the scene has changed definitely for the better. I haven't. I think that's like on the horizon as we go into next year more so. But we kind of oscillate between here and Milwaukee. We are based here. Just the shows that we find and the shows that come to us. It just kind of falls together that way, I suppose.
Now, briefly, you also have some strong feelings on artificial intelligence. What's the big karmic payback you fear?
payback. Man. That's a stumper there.
Dave, you can't do that.
Just as far as artificial intelligence, I think I'm just generally a little bit freaked out by the idea, especially when there's music integrated. But like, if AI can pull a isolated keyboard track out of a Who song, so I can hear everything that he was doing, all the better.
Just but on the keys, used as a learning experience.
But if it like makes all Madison musicians broke in 8 years, then you know, like, I don't know, AI. I don't know where that's going exactly. But
that's a big issue in music and
fascinating and terrifying.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Exactly. Because you know, it can do some good stuff, but there's some definite. You know, is this song real? Are these real musicians playing?
Right. It gets to that point, and then we're like, who's touring? Or just every band becomes like the Gorillaz, like they're a cartoon until they're not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, as a drummer, we've been dealing with the Mr. Boss drum machine for a long time already.
Yeah.
They've been taking jobs forever.
Is auto-tune part of AI? I don't know. It's made a lot of rock stars out of.
It could be. Well, now, Caleb over here, he was just telling me about a new microphone that senses how close or how far away you are and adjust the volume automatically. Sure. Yeah. Using AI to keep your volume perfect.
Perfect and sounding sexy.
So there you go.
That's what it's all about.
We have one more song tonight that we can get to in the lair with Graham Marlowe, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight is called Solo Improv 2. Tell us about the concept of your improv.
Well, you know, like my brothers or some of the more professional musicians that I've been around, you know, were in worlds where like jazz standards, ruled the jam session, or, just a variety of lenses into looking at like open mic, et cetera. And I think, for me, what I go for with improv is to try to just absorb all my influences and burp out something that's got an original flair, or is like dipping into, I don't want to say dipping into a genre that doesn't exist yet, but like just something that's hard to place or describe. And maybe that's part of why I've always ventured more to the instrumental side of things, because I mean, like accompaniments and stuff, you're in a more of a supportive role, whereas this, I can be more, just kind of let my mind wander, I guess, but have it succeed.
I like the fact where you mentioned genre and making up genres or dipping into a genre that's not there. You definitely nailed that. Well, let's hear this. Improv 2. We got Graham Marlowe live in the lair. You got time for one more text or phone call if you want to give us do that right now. 844-967-2789. Live in the lair. It's Graham Marlowe. Graham Marlowe live in the lair is going to take us to the break. Sounding great, Graham. Thank you so much for coming in and playing live in the lair. Lili Lux, thank you for coming in and co-hosting with us tonight. Appreciate
you. Thank you.
And don't forget, Rob Roberts is coming up at the top of the hour. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media.
There. This is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff, they just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you got to stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high-interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.